Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Eurovision is cancelled, as you very well know, but it doesn't change a thing that we are gonna talk with the artists who are used to participate in this great, amazing show. And with me, it's great name, great person, James Newman, the representative of UK. Hello, James.
Hello, how you doing?
Thank you, I'm very well, and I'm so grateful to see you with me here right now.
You too, man. Thanks for calling me.
It's a pleasure. Before we will touch the topic connected with Eurovision itself, because this is what everybody wants to hear from you, I would like to go through memory lane just a little bit and ask you about your musical beginnings. How do you figure it out that singing and writing music is something which you love the most to do? You have more hobbies and passions as a kid which you need to pull off because of your decision about music?
Ever since I was like 5 years old, I always wanted to be a singer. Like I was in like a school, primary school production, as like there's a film called Babe the Sheep Pig, and I was like the sheep pig in the play when I was like a little kid, and then like I always like was singing at school, and I just loved it, and my mum kind of like always supported me and was like, go for it. And then when I got to like high school, oh, when I got to like older school, middle school and stuff, I was singing in like the talent show and stuff. I'd sing like Boyzone and Westlife songs, like just on
Wow.
my own, just on the stage, like yeah. And then I decided I wanted to go to music college, because that's what I really love to do. So I went to Newcastle College of Music and studied there, and yeah, and it was just like, it's all I've ever wanted to do, really. It's to be a singer and write songs for people and for myself. So it's always been like plan A and like head towards that goal. So yeah, but yeah, if I wasn't doing that, I would be a chef, hopefully. So, but I can still cook and write songs.
Many people think, and I agree with this opinion, that the one of the most perfect things you can give for the second person is good food. So I believe if you even become a chef, it will be perfect some way, somehow. Music and
Well,
food is the two greatest things
yeah,
which you give
both
somebody
creative,
else.
creative.
Please tell me, because we heard a lot of times from different musicians who have a family link between each other, that when they are young and they are trying to develop their skills, their music talent, it's a rivalry between them. Jonas Brothers, for example. And how the things goes with you and John? Because as we know, you are both doing very well in Music
Thanks.
Corporation.
Yeah.
You are have some battles, game between each other, who do it something better or first, how it works for you guys.
Well, my brother knows that I'm the better singer, so he gets jealous. No. We've always like we're best friends, so we've always supported each other. Even since we were little kids, we've always been there for each other. And like, the best thing ever is to have a little brother who's in music as well, and who knows what it's like, because he's given me so much advice, especially for leading up to the Eurovision. I was asking him about being on stage in front of 20,000 people, and he was like, he's done it so many times, so he gave me so much advice. And I was talking to him about, like going on the TV and stuff like that. He's done it all before, so it's nice to kind of have someone who's your best friend, your brother, who can tell you exactly what it's like without any smoke and mirrors, if you know what I mean. But yeah, we like to have some brotherly rivalry and wind each other up quite a lot, because he knows he's a talented brother.
Yes, of course. Truly, I believe that everybody knows you both, at least if they are not living under the rock in the last few years, in case of watching music and everything what happening around. James, so when you are looking back at everything what you achieved already, it's a huge list and great moments for you, and it's still very near you in short and longer future. Lots of great things, I believe. Eurovision is one of these examples. It's something which you dream about as a child, as a young person, wanted to do music. Top this imagination of you in the time, and connected it with this reality right now. It top your imagination. It's something more that you think you're gonna achieve. How you feel with when you are just take these two worlds into
Yeah,
one.
it's crazy. It's like, all my life I've dreamt of being a singer, and like always like imagined myself standing on stage and imagined my hearing my songs on the radio, and like then you actually hear them and it's like, what the hell is going on? You know, it's like, and recently, obviously writing songs for lots of other people, you hear the song that you've written on the radio and you're like, wow, it's mind blowing and you can't believe it. And then when I launched my Eurovision campaign, I was on the radio in London and I was at the radio station playing the song I'd written with me singing on it, which was crazy because I was like, oh my God, me on the radio. So the feeling is, you know, it's a lot more than I expect. You know, you can't, it's so overwhelming. You can't put into words how amazing it is to kind of achieve something that you've always wanted to do in your life and it to work and to be successful from it. It's like luck and hard work and I'm very happy, you know. Makes me feel good.
I believe doing something which you love is always the best. So I'm really happy that you one of these people around the world who are doing it. And thanks. James, I've got a lot of requests to ask you about your cooperation with Rudimental and being co-writer of song Waiting All Night, because this is the worldwide hit. Was awarded because of it. So please tell me how you remember this time, how you can describe cooperation with this band.
Yeah, so I actually worked in a pub with Piers from Rudimental's sister.
Wow.
And this is before Rudimental, and this is before I had any success and my brother had any success. And we all became friends. And my brother moved into Piers and Sophie's house. And they then John kind of wrote Feel the Love with Rudimental, which was their first hit. And I was like working in a restaurant still, and I was like, oh my God, I need to write a song like Feel the Love. You know, it's so simple and so anthemic. And then I was in a restaurant and I was just like walking around the restaurant and I came up with this hook that was like, I've been waiting all night for you to tell you what you mean. For like weeks. And I was like, oh my God, this feels quite good. So then, my friend, my brother introduced me to my now friend, Johnny Ghostwriter, who I did the song with. Because my brother was like, you know, you should go and work with this guy. He's really good. Anyway, I went to Johnny Ghostwriter's studio. And it was our first session. And we wrote one song and it was bad. And then the next day, I was like, let's write a song for Rudimental. And he was like, okay, have you got any ideas? And I sang, I've been waiting all night for you. And he was like, whoa, oh my God. So then we built the song and then we wrote the chorus together, which was just the lyrics of the verse, a bit longer, simple. and then we sent it to Piers and we were like, you know, we think this is a banger, you know, what do you think? And they were like, oh my God, yeah. And then a few months later, it was their single. It was like Zane Lowe's hottest record in the world on the Brit night. And it changed my life completely. And then 2 weeks later, I was working in a restaurant and my song was on the radio. And then the next day I left.
Whoa.
Left the restaurant and then I was working in the music industry. It was crazy. It was like my life changed in 3 weeks, like from, you know, having to work like 50 hours a week in a restaurant to then having a number one record, which is crazy. It was so crazy. And then, you know, the rest is...
Well, I have no idea. It's just that getaway for you in case of your career. So it's amazing, beautiful story and also inspiration for a lot of people to just do whatever they want. They are doing well because who knows what's going to happen in a week or a days.
Just got to go for it.
And speaking of corporations, because I done my homework, I check everything very wisely, what you are doing. And I have to ask you about two more artists, which are my individual questions. First of all, Guy Sebastian, who represented Australia as the first artist on the Eurovision Song Contest from this country, with song Keep Me Coming Back. Mm-hmm. Please tell me just a little bit about cooperation with Guy, because he had a great respect from many people as a great artist, very humble, cool human being. Are you agree with these ideas and with these opinions?
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. I met him in Australia I didn't know I was going to work with him, but obviously I knew about Guy Sebastian because he's a, you know, he's a big deal. And I went on a trip, a writing trip. I went to New Zealand, then we went to Australia, to Sydney. And the first day in Australia, they were like, oh, you're going to work with Guy Sebastian today. And I was like, yes, great, exciting. Yeah, and he was such a cool guy. So many, so talented and amazing voice. Like, you know, so many great ideas. And we had just such a good laugh. It was just a great day. You know, like, songwriting's about having a fun time. working with nice people. And that was, yeah, that was one of those days. So, yeah, cool guy.
Perfect, perfect. And one more question about cooperations, because I was born in 90s, so I was grow with their music, Backstreet Boys, for sure.
Yes.
Chateau and OK. So I saw this on the info about your cooperation, I was, damn, he also done something with Backstreet Boys. So please tell me more about this time spent with them, because it's also for me really, really interesting, I believe.
Yeah, so the producer, Stuart Crichton, who's one of my best friends, we've worked together a lot. We did like a Tony Braxton song that got nominated for a Grammy, and a song with Kesha that was nominated for a Grammy on the album. So me and Stuart have like worked together for a long time, and we've done my next single together as well. And then we were just writing, and then Stuart started Backstreet Boys. He was going to produce the record. And then we wrote this song called OK. As long as I'm with you, I'm OK. And Stuart sent it to them and they freaked out and they loved it. And Stuart rang me and he was like, do you want the Backstreet Boys to use our song? And I was like, oh my God. Like, yes, please. Because that is like, that's like you, you know, like growing up. And hearing the Backstreet Boys on the radio, it's like, oh my God, and I've written a song for them. So yeah, it was crazy. And then Chateau, I only had a small part of it, just the end of the chorus. I just was involved tweaking that a bit. But yeah, OK was like my song, which I was very happy to be a part of.
I believe, and I also believe that we can talk about your cooperation for hours, because you're doing a lot, you are cooperating with lots of phenomenal artists. But people, as you properly understand, people are waiting for the Eurovision topic, so I need to bring it right now in this interview with you. Please tell me, what's your story with the Eurovision Song itself? You are a fan of this event, you are watching it in the past, you have some memories connected with watching Eurovision. How it goes for you?
Yeah, I've always watched Eurovision since I was a kid. I've never been to watch it live or anything, but, you know, every year, when it's on, you're like, it's a big event, it's such a celebration of music and so but looks so fun, so you know, it's something that you look forward to watching every year. I just love the diversity of like the acts and the kind of inclusive feeling of the whole festival. It's amazing. I just remember every year like watching it and being like blown away by the difference of people. Like never, no one's ever the same, are they? There's never anything similar. So it's very exciting.
So, James, I think everybody defines Eurovision Song Contest different way. The same thing goes with the slogan, because Eurovision every year have different one. And for this year, unfortunately, concert edition, it was open up. So please tell me how you understand this slogan. Do you think that these words, open up, perfectly glue with your musical identity?
I think, yeah, it's a really nice saying. I think it's people nowadays, I think, are more open in general, you know, with their how they are and, you know, how they're actually feeling. I think there's, you know, like a lot of, to me, it means like mental health and stuff and people being, people talking more and telling your friends if you, you know, if you feel upset or if you feel sad or you feel, you know, I think, and that's like a big part of my life, you know, like, mental health and being there for friends and friends being there for me. And it does definitely relates to my music as well. I think even opening up to people that you love is really important and telling them how you actually feel, which I think a lot of my, well, definitely this EP and this song, my Eurovision song, My Last Breath, is telling someone how you actually feel about them. And I think it's really important to not just be quiet and not just keep it all in your mind. Whatever you're feeling, you need to talk to people. So it's a really, I think it's really nice. And I think it's very like prominent in the world right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And even we'll come back to this topic a little bit later, because I have one special question connected with your song and with the meaning.
Yeah.
But James, as you surely saw from the weeks before, it was a huge hype about who will be the next representative of your country. And some way, somehow, before official time of announcing come, only two names left to be considered, John and James Newman. So please tell me, what kind of experience it was to look at this whole situation from the first row and waiting for the moment when the news become official?
It was crazy, because obviously we had to keep it a secret, and I told a few friends and obviously people in music I had to tell, but it was kind of like, it was so exciting, but I felt bad because I couldn't tell like some of my best friends. I had to keep it a secret from them. And it was funny seeing like online people saying who will it be, and then the week before, Graham Norton did a little trailer on the TV after after his show, I think, and it was like, oh, join me next week to see who the Eurovision entry is, and I was like, it's me. Oh my God, you know, like it's kind of all sunk in at that point. That I was like, that's me. That's crazy. Like my mum rang me and she was like, that's you. I was like, no, I can't believe it. So, and then the few days leading up to the reveal, like you say, like people were tweeting saying, is it John Newman? Is it James Newman? Is it both of them? And my brother was tweeting back to the people and like making them think it was him. And I was I rang him and I was like, John, everyone thinks it's you. But it's really, I can't believe people kind of worked it out down to like that it could be me or John. It was so crazy. It just shows how much people care, doesn't it, that people really wanted to work out what it was. But yeah, what an amazing feeling and an amazing build up. And the like all my friends ringing me when I announced it, like saying, I can't believe you didn't tell me. But, you know, that's part of the fun, part of the surprise.
Yeah, sure. And I also was surprised that lots of people just guessed that you are the representative from this very top camera angle when you were going in on the snow. And I was like, what? Yeah. How you do it? It's impossible to do it, for sure.
Yeah.
But as you said, people are very good investigators on many, many different levels. I hope that you don't mind when I will just quote you, because I get all the BOs, all the information, press releases of your song before it was released.
Yeah.
And you said that about the idea of the song, about looking for them. We all love cold water swimming, and every January we rent a house somewhere we can do that. This year we went to the Epping in the West Highlands, where we swam and freezing log and went hiking.
Yeah.
We were literally climbing mountains in search of a song, reaching peaks and saying, there's a Eurovision winner up here somewhere. We just had to find it. Perfect quote. And please tell me, is this journey was a main inspiration to what we saw in the video clip of My Last Breath?
Yeah, because Wim Hof, the guy who's in the video, he's someone who I've followed religiously for nearly 2 years now. And I actually went to Poland last year to Śnieżka to do the training with Wim Hof, where we shot the video. So everywhere in the video, I was there the year before doing all the breathing and that, swimming with him. And one of my friends, Ed Druitt, who's one of the songwriters, he got me into Wim Hof. So when we were swimming in the loch in Scotland, it was very like, you know, everything made sense. But yeah, I think it all kind of fell into place, really.
Perfect. And speaking of Wim, because you already started topic, please tell me how the thing with him bringing to the video clip, to the whole idea, how it works. You just contacted him, it takes you long or takes you short to make him feel this idea and bring it him to this?
Yeah, it was crazy because obviously I felt like all I talked about was Wim Hof to my record label and stuff. And I was like, I really love, and a lot of people at the label have got into cold water therapy after he went on the Gwyneth Paltrow. He went on like a Netflix thing with Gwyneth Paltrow. And then we were sitting having a meeting with my label, and I was like, I'd love to get Wim Hof like in my video, like as a joke, kind of. And then we were like, should we just try? So we got in touch with his promotions team, but that was actually his son, Enem. And Enem got back to us straight away and was like, oh my God, this sounds great. We'd love to be involved. And then when I got the email back, I was like, what? Really? So yeah, so I couldn't believe it was actually happening, like, until I actually got on the plane to fly there.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, it might not happen or something. And yeah, and we got there and we got back to the place where I trained the year before and saw Wim, and, like, you know, we were chatting and he was talking about breathing. And then he said in the kitchen in the morning, he said, you've got to live every moment like it's your last breath.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, did someone film that? Is that on camera? Did you get that? That kind of brought a whole new meaning to the song for me. The way Wim saw the meaning of the song, and it made me think everyone kind of interprets songs in their own way. And for me, the way he interpreted it and his whole life and how I follow him and stuff, it just all melted together, and it was just really, it was beautiful.
Amazing to hear, especially that I also know lots of things about him, and it's really interesting from you when I saw the first presser. That he was be a part of it, because it makes from the very first moment this song even more impactful because of the story inside it. So perfect choice. Congratulations, James.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And please tell me, because when we are talking about My Last Breath as a song, but also as a whole idea, as a concept, lots of people are looking very close to the moment when you are singing, I give you my last breath. When you are doing this pose between it, it's the idea from the very beginning, or you just born with the time when you were producing this song and mixing up in the studio?
So at first we didn't have the pause. At first it was, I'll give you my last breath. Mm-hmm. And then Adam Argyle, one of the other songwriters, was like, wait a minute, I'll give you my last breath. So you need to take the breath to give it. So you go, I'll give you my last breath. So you can still breathe in to give them the breath. So that was the kind of thought process behind that. And then it obviously gives the impact more when you go, bullet, breath, ba-da-da. So it gives you more of a statement moment. So, it doesn't just slip in. But that was the idea, to get the breath, to give it to them.
Amazing, because it's a little thing, but for me, doing amazing job. It makes songs really stand out, because not lots of artists at Eurovision are mostly in creating music doing some very easy, maybe little things, but we are doing a big impact to this to the entry. So I really like it. I really dig it.
The details in little things like that, even in a simple song, I think really add something a little bit extra that like gets your ear and you're like, oh wow, that's cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. And taking into consideration what's happening right now around the world, this all mess and this lots of crises and very sad situations for lots of people, I find the message of your song even more important than touching. Because as you said, togetherness was the main word in your mind when you're writing this song.
Yeah.
So please, can you tell me more about the story connected to what's hiding in the lyrics and what's important, what you would love from people to take from this message?
Well, the inspiration for the song was about an actual deep sea diver in the North Sea who got cut off and lost his umbilical cord, like the thing that gets the air. And he was in a big heavy suit, so he went to the bottom of the sea, and they thought the guy couldn't survive for more than 5 minutes without air. Anyway, they went back, and against all odds, they thought they wouldn't save him, but they did save him. And then it got us thinking, like, what people would do to say, to help someone, even if they think all hope is lost. Like these, like what people will do to look after each other in the time when everyone needs each other. And it's really like warming to know that people do that. And I thought, and we were thinking, like, what would you do for someone that you love? And I was thinking about my wife and all my family and stuff. And yeah, like you say, in the crazy times that we're in, it really shows like what people do for other people, like all the key workers and the health people working in healthcare and stuff that are putting their lives on the line to save other people. And that is kind of the premise of the song, really. It's like what someone will do to save someone else, like selflessly. It's really nice. It's a beautiful thing about the human nature, I think, that should be celebrated.
Yeah, surely. And congratulations, because you surely, as everybody, don't know how it's going to work with the world in the next few months when you're writing this song. But also because of you from Italy, Diodato, Fai Rumore, people are finding an inspiration and power to just have a positive energy and be optimistic for the future. So thank you so much also from my point of view to give me this additional chill. Thank you so much. And going with your song, you got a lot of deserved warm and positive feedback from media, journalists, fans around the world. They all come to the conclusion James Newman and this song is the next very important and good step for United Kingdom and Eurovision Song Contest. That's the main idea and main opinion which I saw everywhere. So please tell me from your perspective, because you are writer, you are an artist, you are performing, so doing a lot of stuff, you are a very experienced artist for sure at this point. Do you have any theory or thoughts how it possible that with that huge world music market as UK have, and so many recognizable names, great young talents, Eurovision was that tough pill to swallow for the former artists on your spot?
I think, well, let's not forget that we've won Eurovision 5 times. we're the top three winners of all time.
Sure.
We haven't done too bad. I think, but recently, I think the songs haven't like connected to people's. I think music needs to connect in some kind of universal way to people, whether it's like an emotion or a happy feeling or a sad feeling or a lyric or a melody that, or something that gets some people like, you know, like something that gets you. And I think maybe the songs that we've entered haven't done that in the right way. Like our last song, Love Shine a Light, that won. If you listen to that song, it's such a universal message that brings people together, and it's like hopeful, or that's, you know, but then the song Duncan that won last year, that song is just like a really well written pop song, and it just makes you feel something else. It makes you feel kind of sad, but also happy, and gives you hope. So I think there's just been a disconnect between the song and the audience. But so that's hopefully what we're trying to do with my song, My Last Breath.
I believe that it will be a completely different story if Eurovision will happen in May. I really believe, especially as I said before, you have great, great, great opinions about this entry. Lots of people love it. So I believe it will be much more better story than in recent years, of course, because people from United Kingdom, I don't take away from your winnings. Please don't get me wrong. I was mostly talking about 21st century in this performances. But thank you so much for clarifying that. as we clearly know, Eurovision hasn't taken place. Lots of people are very sad about it, but it needs to be the choice which needs to be done because of taking care about people's lives. Few weeks before this information that Eurovision is officially cancelled, you are wondering about the scenario, or you are thinking that maybe going through with different approaches, so maybe it's going to be recorded from the studio, or maybe going to be doing it online. You have this idea that will happen?
Everything changes every day, doesn't it? Because no one knows anything about what's happening. You know, it's the main priority, like you say, is people's health and looking after each other and not doing anything that's going to affect anyone else's life. in a bad way. So, but yeah, there were so many different options that people were talking about, whether it was going to be maybe in an empty arena, but still in Rotterdam, yeah. But then it was like, we probably won't be able to travel. And then they were like, maybe it'll be in London in a closed set or something. But then when you start thinking about how serious it is, if you don't want to be involved in people getting together. You don't want to be that person. So I think they definitely made the right decision just to say, like, you know, stay at home. Let's do it next year, because it's just not worth the risk, you know. I think that's... Okay, so, yeah, that's kind of where we...
So it's not bitter feelings from you, for sure,
about the decision. I mean, as long as people are healthy and safe, that's more important to me than singing.
Yeah. All right. Great to hear. We are coming to the end of our interview, but two more questions. Still, even if you don't have this chance to meet the grandest stage from them all, because Eurovision is the biggest show in the world every year, doing 200 million people watching, so it's huge.
Yeah.
You are an active part of Eurovision in social medias. You are meeting artists. You are chat connect, like most of these artists from this year doing. Yeah. And I believe you know Leslie Roy very well, this year Irish representative.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something more about your contact, about your friendship?
Yesterday we had a chat. So we started speaking on Instagram. She was like, hey, would you like to kind of go live and have a chat? And I was like, yeah, definitely. It's such a night. Because then you realize that everyone, there's like 41 other people who are going through the exact same kind of situation as you. So it was really nice to kind of chat with her and hear what she's been doing and how she feels about it. And next week I've got some chats lined up as well with Axel from Finland. And a few other people I'm not sure yet, but I think that was the cool thing about chatting to Leslie. We got to discuss all things Eurovision with someone who was doing what I was doing. It was nice.
Yeah. You are sure a very, very similar experience because of the writing music, singing music. So for sure, it's going to be really interesting to watch you on Instagram. I'll be there for sure.
Okay.
And tell me, this is going to be one huge question with three little ones, if you will just forgive me these journalist activities. First of all, I believe that situations with who gonna represent each country at Eurovision gonna clarify by the months, because we'll see how it goes with the pandemia, how it's everything working with the health of people, etc., etc. But let's just figure it out that somebody from BBC, from your label, come to you and said, James, we want you once again at Eurovision. You need to get this proper chance. You will accept it? You will jump on board once again?
100%. If they ask me, I'll say yes.
Perfect. So it's first great news. I really glad to hear this. Yeah. People, you will have Steel James if everything work well. So BBC, please don't screw it. Second of all, when you are thinking about everything what you've done with My Last Breath, as we know, artists who even come back to the next year, the Eurovision, can't take this song produced for this edition with them. Mm-hmm. You are feeling sad about it? You think that this decision should be worked different way? Or you just clarify your mind that if you were be called, you would just do once again, look maybe in the mountains for the next song, which can be do very well?
Yeah, I think My Last Breath and all the songs will have their moment now. And this time next year, we'll be in a different, totally different situation. The world will be a different place to what it is now. So, and I think when I wrote My Last Breath, it was... I wrote it quite soon to it being released. And I quite like to, for something like this, I think you need to write a song that is how you feel at the time. So this time next year, I'll be feeling different feelings and stuff like that. So I think it's important to move on from something and let the song have its moment now. And then next year, we'll come back with something even better, hopefully.
I believe that.
If I do it next year.
Hopefully, once again, hopefully. And I believe that with your talent, with your skills, and with your ideas about music, it will go very, very well. So, fingers crossed. Really, fingers crossed to see you. And the last, the toughest question, I believe, but everybody asking about it, everybody. So I also need to do it because people will kill me. James, please tell me, do you have any favorites from the rest of the 40 songs registered to this year Eurovision Song Contest?
The song by Destiny from Malta, All My Love. I love that song. It's I think it kind of it's kind of like my kind of vibe. You know, it's kind of soulful and bluesy. A little bit like kind of like what I would write for Rudimental maybe and stuff like that. And John's Tears, Responder. That's beautiful. It's kind of like James Blake, really nice. And Axel as well from Finland, really cool. They're like my top three. But Destiny, I think Destiny is my favourite one. All My Love. It's a really cool song. And the video's cool as well, and how it starts with the speaking and stuff.
I hope she will see this video. I hope she will do. She will see it. It's gonna be next build up friendship. Hopefully for the next year Eurovision. James, thank you so much for all of your time. It's a huge pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much, Sebastian.
And please tell me, do you have any message for your Polish fans and overall Eurovision fans who are watching it right now and just come with us for this 30 minutes, I believe.
Yeah. Hi everyone in Poland. I live around watching around Europe. My name's James Neiman. Thanks for all the support and the love and the messages. Hopefully see you all soon.
Thank you so much, James. Thank you all for watching it. It's a huge pleasure, and we see each other very, very soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.